This is James Coover with K-State Research and Extension's Wildcat District with your Extension Crop Report. There has always been a synergistic connection between cover crops and livestock grazing. First off, grazing cover crops is about the only direct way to profit off of cover crops. It has been shown that grazing cattle also helps with the biological advantages of cover crops by processing nutrients and increasing microbe diversity. Since cover crops often only fit into small growing windows, say after soybeans and before corn, grazing is about the only way to really use cover beyond any intrinsic soil benefits. However, the one thing that is often claimed is that cattle hooves tend to lead to soil compaction and difficult planting. There has been a great number of both university field and on-farm research that has shown that with proper grazing, cattle hooves don't actually compact the soil. Research has been done across the Midwest by researchers and farmers that show that cover crops protected the soil well enough to guard against hoof weight. What compaction did occur happened in the top few inches of the soil, which is much easier to fix than deeper compaction. The cover crops plus grazing overall had a net benefit to soil compaction than no cover crop at all. Most grazing cover crop publications give guidelines to remove livestock when conditions are muddy, and that will relieve most of the perceived soil compaction issues. It is also important to spread out supplemental hay feeding areas, and if possible, have an off-field cattle watering area. What really I imagine is viewed as soil compaction by farmers is really just soil roughness in areas that were grazed when soil was too wet. While it's not actually compaction, it can be an annoying issue when drilling corn and can lead to uneven planting. Research has shown that properly grazed cover crops has no effect on subsequent crop yields. While it is true that not every field here in Southeast Kansas in the surrounding area is set up for cattle grazing, it requires fences and water sources. The interior fences are often electric strings to divide up the cover crop into paddocks. Many ranchers would prefer a 5-strand exterior fence, but plenty use an electric fence for the exterior fencing as well. It takes some creativity and planning. And since nearly 50% of land in this area is leased, it takes a conversation with the landlord or leaser as well. Another huge reason for grazing cover crops is to reduce fescue pasture pressure during a very critical point. Mostly, we are planting cover crops for only a 2 to 3 week of grazing during March and maybe a little into April. This is a very important time frame for fescue to prepare for spring. While letting it grow past 4 to 5 inches, which will often won't happen until mid-April, it reduces the risk of fescue toxicities, allows for a stronger root system, increases weed competitiveness, improves stocking rate, and from my understanding, keeps the fescue in a vegetative growth by delaying seed heading. Fescue has a real benefit from being fertilized in March and then having a month of time to grow before cattle grazing. During that time, cover crops provide protein and vitamins that correspond well with what's left of the hay. In Southeast Kansas, we are 50% crops and 50% pasture, and cover crop represents the bridge between the two and what can be done for sustainable intensification. Please give us a call if you would like information on cover crops and grazing plans. Reach me at 620-724-8233. This has been James Coover with your Extension Crop Report.